Well, who? What show is this? This sounds like a great show. Oh, it was like one of the. Okay. God, I gotta. Whatever show that was, I wanna watch it. Right, and they had Greg Kinnear, in other words, and replaced him with somebody else. Yeah, I forget the guy. Who, me? Yeah, I thought it was. No, I thought it. What are you kidding me? He was fantastic in As Good As It Gets. He was great. He was great in it. Great, and she's put on. And a year ago today, Jennifer weighed 120 pounds, and today, Jennifer, what is it? 204. Nah, she looks fantastic. Yeah, Jennifer looks good. She looks real good. Come on in, man. Come on in. Whatever. Hold on for a minute. Let me, yeah.
Phil Hendry.
Okay, Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686, for Orange County, 1-800-5201-KFI, for LA County, 5201-KFI. Michelle Cube, our executive producer, is visiting today from KFI Radio. She's over here at our studios on a street. The studios are on a street here in a town. And what's the matter, Mike? You're looking at me like I'm not on the air or something. Well, whatever. Who cares if you can't hear? You're not listening anyway in there. He comes walking out like there's something wrong, like he can't. He says, I can't hear the show. That's fine. You don't have to. It's not necessary for you to listen to it to screen the phone calls. And Michelle's in there. What do you think of the setup, Michelle? Pretty good? You like it? It's not as big. It's not as sumptuous. It's not as spacious, but it's ours, and it's home. So Michelle is visiting us from KFI, and I swear to God, when I saw her, I almost started to cry. Now, what is that? It was an emotional thing to see her. Since, you know, coming over here, you never grow up, you know. You think you're an adult and you think you can handle things, but you get used to a place, and then you go to a new place, you sort of kind of shove that down in the back of your mind someplace, or you push it way down in your pants somewhere, never to let it rear its ugly head. And suddenly when you see that person again, not that I had a thing for Michelle, but she represents, you know, the KFI, the whole home there, our nest. And when she walked in, the familiar perfume, the familiar look of her as she entered the room, and I just wanted to cry. And my wife's listening right now, and I can only imagine the hell I'm going to get in when I get home. Honey, you got to understand, it's got nothing to do with what you're thinking. All of a sudden, as I was talking about you, Michelle, I could see Maria driving around with her face getting red. So okay, look, let me just take it back. I saw Michelle, and I wanted to throw up. How about that? You feel better? As soon as she walked in the room, there was something about her perfume that made me want to pitch up into our brand new metal waste paper basket. Which, by the way, thanks for getting those, Craig. See, a lot of guys don't care, but I care. I want metal. Want to know why? Makes noise. Anything that makes noise. Plastic, don't do it. Metal does it. New metal trash cans from Premier. Boing. Ow. Is that the coolest sound of thing you ever heard? And get out! And stay out. And then there's day old. Something about day old bananas. Isn't that song? Bananas are a day old, I want to go home. The bananas are a day old and I want to go home. Isn't that it? All right. We got our totals for the sale of the Best of Phil Hendry Show CD. Thank you very much for continuing to patronize our show and our website, philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, if you'd like to design some kind of a page or web page, if you'd like to just do a web page design for our website, excuse me, send it over to webmaster@philhendryshow.com. Let's see what kind of web artist you are. We'd love to see it. That's Phil Hendry Show. Webmaster@philhendryshow.com. And what we'll do is we'll place those up on a website, and then we'll vote on them somehow, some way. Also, if you'd like a copy of the Best of Phil Hendry Show CD, you can get it at philhendryshow.com. The CD is $23.50. That's $3.50 shipping and handling, $20 for all the great people at my friend's place. They've done great work for 10 years. They started out of the trunk of a guy's car helping kids who live on the street in Hollywood. And now they're up to a couple of community centers there in Los Angeles, and they've got a new one they're opening up near the Hollywood Freeway, and they're just doing great, great guns. And we're very proud to say that this year we have raised $85,000 and still climbing for my friend's place. We're going to do another radiothon. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we'll do it. And we'll continue our fundraising efforts on behalf of these great people. 85 grand we've raised. Let's see if we can get to 100 G's sometime this week. Come on. Let's do it. Come on. Let's get 100 grand by Friday. 100 grand by... Just, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse t-shirts. And we're going to give out one for every CD that you buy. Ted Bell will be on to tell us about this in the weeks to come. But first, I got to get somebody to spring to have these made. But we'll give out, like, Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse t-shirts. I don't know. We'll have a Western States Homeowners Association underwear or something. Some, you know, like a little bandana or a gardening hat. A Bobby Dooley gardening hat. One of those big wide-brim hats with the thing that you tie. And we'll give them out for free for every CD that you buy. Something like that. Thanks to Craig Taylor for these cough drops. Just about over this cold. What a brutal thing. What a sick, sadistic trick God played on us when he said, you know what, you can be healthy your whole life. No cancer. How about Steven Spielberg getting a kidney taken out? What is that all about? He walks in for a physical. He said, oh, by the way, the kidney's got to come out. How does that happen? They said it was something life-threatening. Well, I'll go in for a routine physical. How about that? Are you sure that kidney had to come out? Are you guys just making a big deal because it's Steven Spielberg? Guy comes in, holy Jesus, Ed, Steven Spielberg's in the office. We got to have something to remember him by. How about an autograph, Steven? Screw off, okay? I'm here for a physical. All right, just for that, we're taking out the kidney. But before, would you autograph it?
Phil Hendry Show, coming down the line in 8, 7, 6... Five,
four, three. Henry Show, 1-800-4. You wouldn't believe what happened. See, I was going to talk, and then he hadn't raised his finger. Then he put his finger in my, and then I went. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hi. Welcome to all of our affiliated stations. And we're very happy to be with you this evening. We have coming up, actually, we have a discussion I think you're going to find interesting about runaway slaves, this being Black History Month. Some interesting discussion afoot about reparations for African Americans who had family members who were slaves and other discussions along those lines. Clara Bingham, who is with Joyful Union Congregation, is going to be on. She teaches some history classes there for their middle school. And we were talking a moment ago about Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse t-shirts that we'd like to make available to anybody who buys a Phil Henry Show CD, Best of the Phil Henry Show 1999 CD. We've raised $85,000, and I just think we got to do something to sort of kick this thing into high gear. We're making about, maybe $1,000 a day. It's a nice thing, and I appreciate it, but it should be more. There should be more coming from your pockets, flowing forth from you. And when I stop to think that money could have gone into my bank account, you see, it's painful enough that I'm raising money for a charity, a wonderful group of people called My Friend's Place. It's painful enough that they get the dough. It's painful enough that I have to sit and watch my hard-earned, hard-earned money go into their pockets because it's all based upon the crap that we do on the show. And to think that I can't get my swimming pool and they got their $350,000 and I feel like I want to kill somebody, that's bad enough. But when we don't have a Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse t-shirt to give you, man, I want to just slit a wrist. By the way, Michelle Cube, the executive producer over at KFI Radio Los Angeles, is in here tonight. Are you looking for... Because we'll hire you in a minute. Well, you know we'll hire Michelle and David Hall, who's our great program director and vice president of syndication over KFI. You know, David, that we would hire Michelle over here in 5 seconds. David, you're aware. David knows that. He knows which side of the ass the butter's on. He knows which side of his ass the butter's on. And we would hire you to come over here and be president and chief operating officer. Were it not for a guy by the name of Craig Kitchen. Just hear me kick my new metal garbage can? We already have a COO. How about the job of CFO? How about CEO? Would you like to be a captain with Alaska Airlines? How about that? I hear they got a couple. Never mind. So I... Yeah, that's green. That cold, thank goodness it's over. Hit me last week ago Friday, and it's just now on its way out the door. Thanks to Craig Taylor for these great cough drops. Thanks to Melissa Morgan, a writer on our show, associate producer. She brought in some of those cool Ricola things, and I've been sucking on those. Thanks to my wife who suggested I go outside and suck on the exhaust pipe of the brand new Navigator that I bought her. Thank you, honey. That was a good idea. I started to pass out, but it cleared things up a little bit. Then I realized, oh, my God, I could die doing this. And I went and I said, honey, are you sure? She said, no, really, it's safe. Go on. Go back out there. Put your lips around that thing. And hum me a song. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. Let's get on Clara Bingham. She is with the people at, where is it? What exactly is the organization? It's Joyful Union Congregation. I want to make sure that we have it right. Hey, Clara, thanks for coming on the show with us tonight. Joyful Union Congregation is a school. Let's see. Is she there? Ma'am, you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay, ma'am. I'm sorry. Joyful Union Congregation. What? How did everything get switched? Hold on for just a minute.
Well, wait a minute. Aren't you going to... Do you want...
Now, I have a question. How is it that everything was out of the proper buses when we walked in here? Okay, so it wasn't somebody else futzing around in here.
No.
Okay, good.
It was us.
Okay, it was us. All right, great. Because if I found out there was one of these guys that used this thing in the morning, I guess, you know, I don't know. I got my kid's BB gun downstairs. All right, let me get back to the lady on the line here, Clara Bingham. She is with Joyful Union Congregation. I'm sorry we had some technical difficulties. We appreciate you being with us. Is Joyful Union a school?
Yes, Phil. No, Joyful Union Congregation is it's a church. It's a school. We have a senior services. We also have middle school. We do have Sunday school and some preschool services. And we have outreach programs. So we are, an organization that is 100% in touch with the community. And because we are primarily an African-American congregation, we do educational outreach. And we are involved in outreach for Black History Month. And we have conducted some seminars at Joyful Union on the other side of the slave trade. Now, this all started, Phil, with some conversation that we had with local educators here in Los Angeles about reparation for African-American slaves and for their families. And
you know, when everybody talks about reparations for African-American slaves and their families, and I'm not necessarily against something like that, but I have to say, it doesn't make much sense if there's no slaves that are still alive. It always seems to me that reparation should be for the living people, wouldn't you think?
I don't agree necessarily. I think that because so many generations have suffered, that you have to take into consideration that not only were the slaves the ones that suffered, but also their offspring as well. That is a crime that was committed against a portion of our population. That has had ramifications and repercussions down through generations. So I don't think it's necessarily something you can cut off with a generation. But I will say that to try and make this argument and discussion of slave reparations more equitable, that you have to look into other aspects of the slave trade. There were white property owners and business owners who would pay upwards of $5,000 for a slave during the slave trade. Now, at this time, in the South, there were con men and scam artists. These were men of ill repute who were, you know, working both sides of the fence. They were doing a thing called a bait and switch, kind of a play on something called Two Brothers and a Stranger, you know.
And Two Brothers and a Stranger.
Well, that's that old con game, you know, two brothers. They walk into a bar, got two brothers and a stranger. And
oh, you're hustling a guy at pool.
That's right. Well, there was a similar thing going on in the slave trade. And what would happen, Phil, a freed black slave and a white front man would present themselves to honest, hardworking property owners in the South as a slave and a slave trader, when in actuality they were partners. Top price would be paid for the slave, who was in fact in cahoots with the white man. that night or early at the earliest opportunity, the white man would break the black man out or free him or take him out of that captivity, and they would be on to the next town, and they would be free before you could whistle Dixie. And they were upwards of 10,000 families and property owners and business owners treated this way. And the Civil War Foundation estimates that around $2 million was lost to these thieves.
And now, there was a movie out called The Skin Game. You know that film?
I am aware of that movie. That is based on actual true events. And I would direct people to the Los Angeles Times, an article about the Underground Railroad. And an article in the article, they talk about a man named Augustus West. And Mr. West was a freed slave who went into business with a white man. And that white man would pay, that white man would sell him to an honest owner of a plantation or property, and at the earliest convenience, he would break that man out.
And so like the movie The Skin Game, which I think was James Garner and Lou Gossett or somebody like that, you're talking about a front man, another guy, the slave. They would sell the guy, they would make their money, and then he'd break him out and onto the next town, right? So this isn't just something out of the movies.
No, I would say it's not anything out of the movies. This is a true story. It happened to some 10,000 or 15,000 families and property owners and business owners in the South. And if we are to see reparations for black families for the injustice done to black slaves, we also have to take into consideration these property owners who were cheated out of their money, these people who thought they were purchasing a slave only to find out that they had been conned and lost out on some $5,000 to $7,000. Phil, this was an enormous amount of money in those times. And so in order for us to have reparations for the black slaves, first we must also make reparations for the white families who were cheated in thinking they were buying a black slave, but in fact were being duped and fooled by con men.
And all right, Clara Bingham is on the line. Hold the line here, Clara. She's from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, and she's talking about an article that was interesting in the L.A. Times about this whole skin game thing. If you saw the movie where a white guy and a black guy would go into partnership, the white guy presenting himself as a slave trader, the black guy as a slave, they would sell the black guy, then they'd break the guy out, and the people who bought the slave were cheated out of $5,000. She feels that the descendants of those white families that thought they were buying a black slave should also be given reparations, and then we can start talking about, fairness. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, and this is the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Let's talk to Clara Bingham, rather, on the line from Joyful Union Congregation about Black History Month, reparations for black slaves, and reparations for the white slave-owning families.
Not exactly white slave-owning families, Phil, but these would be families who thought they had been purchasing a black slave. But in point of fact, were conned by these flim-flam artists going from farm to farm, going from plantation to plantation, going from property to property, and making the people believe they were buying a slave.
All right, like this, because we were mentioning The Skin Game, the movie. So this was, and the guy that you mentioned, Augustus West, actually bought himself a big spread of land, didn't he?
That is correct. Mr. West was a thief working with a white man and presenting himself as a slave to these families. And these families, thinking they were buying a perfectly good slave, would, pay as much as $5,000.
What was the going rate for a slave? Like I read somewhere $2,000.
It could be anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000, depending upon the relative health of the individual, et cetera, and the experience of the individual. I am not saying slavery, obviously, is something that is so debasing of human nature and the human spirit and the human condition that all kinds of insanity rises out from it. But if we are going to make reparations to black families for slavery, I think the time has come, Phil, to start talking about these white families who are conned into thinking that they were buying a slave, when in point of fact, this was a con man who would be broken out later on by his white cohort, and who would then split the proceeds of the ill-gotten gains. This was thievery. And they would do this to countless families. Now, this was practiced in the South quite extensively, and up to 10,000 families, property owners, and business owners.
You mentioned that, like, $2 million was lost to these thieves, correct?
Somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 million, which is about $50 million today. And that is a lot of money. And before any serious discussion of reparation can be made, I think the descendants of slaves can discuss with the descendants of these white families who had been, ripped off. We must address the issue. And what a great time to do this than a better time to do this than Black History Month, where all of the races come together in brotherhood, in the pursuit of knowledge. And what we are proposing is this coming Sunday, Phil, February 13th, the day before Valentine's, we are going to pass the hat at our church, and we would suggest that others pass the hat in their churches across America and collect funds to pay the white man back for what he has lost, and then we can get around to Black reparations, because I think there has been an awful lot of trust lost among all people. And
well, you know, the Black reparations for slaves, okay, has been a discussion ever since there was a discussion for, you know, repairing Japanese-American families. Now, you're throwing into the mix giving reparations to white families who got conned into thinking they were buying a slave. It sounds to me like you are putting that ahead of reparations for Black families.
Well, I think that before you can start talking about the extensive reparations that are owed to African Americans for slavery, you have to first address the issue of the white families that were hurt during slavery.
And see, it comes as quite a shock to a lot of people, myself included, that white families were hurt during slave times.
Well, they were in this way, Phil, that they were the victims of this flim-flam. They were the victims of this kind of thievery. This is a kind of a canard, every bit as devious and every bit as destructive as if someone were to burglarize a home. You are selling someone a product which does not exist, whether it is false advertising or whether it is faulty merchandise. The fact remains that these were people paying an awful lot of money. I want you to remember that $5,000 was a lot of money to pay in those days. That was an enormous amount of money to pay. And for a family to give up that amount of money to find out that they did not get what they thought they were getting in return caused a great deal of hardship. Who is going to begin to make amends to these families? One of the reasons why whites, I think, resist reparations for Black slaves is because that kind of wrong was done.
And well, you have to dig pretty, pardon me for interrupting, but you have to dig pretty deep in history to find out about white families that were flim-flammed by white and Black guys passing themselves off, I mean, it's almost comical, passing themselves off as slave trader and slave, getting the money, and then running off with it. But you say up to 10,000 families?
In the neighborhood of 10,000 families, around $2,000 was lost to these thieves. That is around $50 to $75 million in modern currency, and while we all like to think that, slavery has only one color, it had two colors, Phil, and there were two races hurt.
All right, we have Clara Bingham on the line here from Joyful Union Congregation about reparations that need to be paid to white families who lost money being conned into thinking they were buying a slave before we can do it for Black families. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Show 1-800-449-8686. So we have the situation. This is Black History Month. On the line with us is Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation. We have a situation of Black History Month, and there's so many different aspects of American history that we read about and that we hear about and that we try to delve into. This, you made the statement just before the break that slavery had two colors.
Yes, Phil, that is true. And the reason why I say that slavery had two colors is because not only were blacks hurt, but whites were hurt as well.
Well, the black people were hurt because they were enslaved. White people were hurt, you're saying, because they were conned into thinking they were buying slaves.
Yes, this was a confidence game being run throughout the South by white and black men together in partnership, in tandem. And they would team up, and they would con these families. Now, $5,000, $2,000, $3,000, an enormous amount of money. I'm saying before the healing can start, then you have to begin to ask yourself, where do you start? And I think I would start with, first of all, the whites that have been hurt and harmed, and then move on to reparations for blacks, because then I think it makes the white people feel that they have had their grievances addressed.
All right, let me go to Charlotte on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, hi.
I'm living here in the South, and I understand completely the whole thing about slavery. Personally, I'm white. But I don't feel that it's right for people to get funds because of something that happened in the past, regardless if they're black or if they're white. I mean, isn't that kind of drawing things out a little bit more than they need to be?
I don't know. Are you asking a question?
I think she doesn't understand really what happened. A Holocaust occurred.
A Holocaust occurred
to millions of people. Some 30 to 40 million African Americans were murdered in this country.
Why pay their descendants?
Well, I think if you look at the white families that suffered at the hands of these people who were selling them slaves, they thought that,
right,
that were slaves that were not.
And terrible things.
The white people suffered just as much as black people
did.
You said that you're white.
Right, I am.
It's very likely, since you live in the South.
I'm from Chicago.
Let's take the average white family in the South. Going back to Civil War times, they were not very educated. They were not the brightest people in the world. They were ripe for this kind of canard. And so you could go to the front door of a white family's home in those days and say, would you like to buy a black slave?
And I understand.
And they'd buy it, and the next thing you know, they're out
$5,000. And done with. And if you want the healing to begin, then how about dropping it?
If you want the healing to begin, if you want the healing to begin, you've got to pay back these whites.
And no, you don't.
Yes,
no,
you do, because they're going to kick and scream.
Because you know what? You're going to pay people who nothing
happened.
Well,
let me ask you, are there families of white people saying, we got screwed, we thought we were buying a slave, and we...
There have been a few, yes, and there are more and more. There's a Civil War Foundation, which is located in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, has identified the descendants of some 10,000 families, as I said, Phil, who were picked clean. They had a game run on them.
Isn't that something for nothing, though, for these people? That, you know, something happened to their family, right? That's terrible for both sides.
Well, how would you feel?
It goes back many generations, but what my grandfather did, I don't expect to receive payment for
How would you feel if you thought you were buying a slave?
Okay,
and the next morning you went out to the barn and he was gone.
What I do and what my great-grandchildren have, like, an effect, like, does that have an effect on my great-grandchildren? No, because if
that $5,000 is money you could have used to start a business which your great-grandchildren would have benefited from had you not been screwed.
Right,
so,
and you know
that
what?
Does
I should have started
have
many
effect.
Businesses instead of buying slaves.
It does have
but
an effect.
Slavery was wrong.
All right.
So why pay people back?
So because slavery was wrong, you think of a guy got screwed thinking he was buying a $5,000 slave when in point of fact it was a guy running a game on him. He shouldn't get his money back?
Well, I think that's wrong because we have laws
that's
against
right.
that. No, we have laws against that.
No,
all right. Thank you for your call, ma'am. I got to move on. 1-800-449-8686. A lot of people just don't think reparations, period.
Well, I disagree with that, but I think the reparation that needs to be taken care of first are these poor, dumb whites that got taken advantage of down there so many, you know, 140 years ago. You know, all of a sudden you went out there, you got to pull a mule, you think you got cotton to pick, you go to get your slave, and it ain't there. You know how a child feels on Christmas when he gets a new toy, and then a day later it's broken, there's no batteries. Well, imagine how you would feel now you are an adult, and you go out to the barn to get your slave, and the slave, freshly bought, brand spanking new slave, gone. How do you think you feel?
I don't know. I mean, it's a difficult thing to put my shoes into. Newport News on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I think this is just the stupidest thing that I ever heard of in my life. If you're going to
reparations?
Excuse me?
Are you talking about reparations?
Yes, paying the white man for enslaving my race. I think
no, we are not paying him for enslaving the race.
Pay me first, and then I will give him what's left, and then I will take my 40 acres and a mule that was
promised. We're not paying him for enslaving us. We are simply paying him back for getting screwed over.
Well, it happens to Dick Clark and Ed McMahon has been doing it for people for years.
Well, that could very well be.
I'm saying slave insurance, because one day I woke up and my car was gone. But I had insurance.
So slave insurance?
If you're going to be a slave owner, get
you know,
slave
you want to laugh. You want to laugh about that. That's fine.
I have to laugh because
brother, you know that our people have talked about reparations for our ancestors.
And we haven't gotten it. So
and we have not gotten that. And I think that I think the discussion must continue. I'm not going to let up on the discussion, but I will say this. I think if there is a grievance from the white man and their white families, $5,000 in those days could buy a lot of property,
What about the grievances from the black people when they went over to Africa and took
I think we have
what
to.
What about them? You're going to have to pay them also.
But I'm saying when you get up in the morning and you go out to the barn to look for your fresh new slave, he's not there.
Well, you know what happens if I wake up?
Get slave insurance.
I have slave insurance.
Get slave insurance.
Yes.
So you all want to make a joke out of this.
And, well, what do you mean when I get up in the morning and I go out to look for my fresh new slave?
You have slave insurance. You got papers. You're covered.
I am saying that these are poor families. These are white families that probably in those days were not very bright.
Those poor black families? I mean, they
had those cloths burned
in their yard, and they had to get that
to
up. They're going to have to get paid for that also.
I heard about that. I know. Everybody has to be taken care of. I'm saying everyone needs to be taken care of.
Well, that's true, too. But
Thank you for your call, sir. 1-800, what do you say that...
Phil, these were our families that had farms to work, had plantations to work. They get up in the morning, they go out to work. And what they thought was they had bought themselves some future by having a slave. And
you realize that slavery is a horrible thing.
Yeah, of course I do.
Well, you're talking about it like, gee, this poor guy got screwed over. He bought his slave. He went out to get his brand spanking new slave, and he ran off. This is a man who got screwed over by an institution that should not exist in the first place.
I disagree.
Why?
Because he did not get screwed over. He got taken by a flim-flam man, had nothing whatsoever to do with slavery. These are two flim-flam artists. Well, this man, the last $5,000 he had, he put down on a brand spanking new 1865 slave. You know
what? With white wall tires?
If you want to make a joke, Mr. Henry,
what do you mean a brand spanking new 1865 slave? You're talking about putting money down?
They put down $500, yeah. And they would pay it off on time.
Was it like a lease?
Sometimes it would stand like a 42-month agreement, yes.
Well, I don't know. I simply do not know. And I'm with the other guy. I don't know. The whole thing about reparations is pretty screwy. Here is Rock Hill on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi.
How you doing?
Fine.
Man, this has got me all messed up right here. I'm so sick and tired. You know, I just want to know. I want to ask this lady, how in the world are they going to find all these families? All these white families.
Well, the Civil War Foundation has identified
Can I speak for a second?
I'm answering your question. Civil War Foundation has identified some 10,000 families that were victimized in this way. And again, $5,000 in today's economy
that's fine.
$150,000,
$200,000. Lady, you... This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, we are talking
what about
reparations.
What about
the discussion of reparations has been going on for a long time.
Let me speak. Let me speak my mind one second. I'm from Pennsylvania and I'm living down south in Charlotte, around Charlotte. What about now? It's my forefathers
your
that fought the Civil War to set your people free.
Got at Gettysburg.
Okay, now you remember that, right? Now,
no, a lot of,
what in
a
the
lot
world?
Of your forefathers,
I've been watching Black History Month for months and months and years and years.
It's only been on one
month. When have you ever, you know, said thank you to them guys? I haven't been offered a cent. Not that I want it, because I don't want the stinking money. I'm sick and tired of all this.
We are offering you a cent. We are offering you money.
Crap.
We're offering your family.
When are you guys
going
to wake up
back
and realize
that on the slave that they tried to buy?
Get
we're offering your family money back.
You got to go through some things.
Wait a minute, sir. Hold on. What are you offering him? His question is.
I said I am offering his family money back on the slave that they thought they were buying.
My family's never owned any slaves.
How do you know that?
Because I'm a damn Yankee. That's how I know that.
They had slaves, up in the North before they outlawed slavery.
You people want something handed to you. I'll tell you what, if you would go back to Africa and realize how good you have it now, this is why your forefathers went through what they went through so you could be to where you're at today.
Well, and your forefathers...
And that's what they went through. That was their gift to you.
That's true.
Your people sold them in Africa to our white people. They brought them over here, and that's their gift to you, so you could have it as good as what you have in America right now.
But I also think...
If you quit your damn wine...
All right, sir, shut up for a minute and let her finish. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that it was Jews like this gentleman I'm talking to that also had a lot to do with it.
Hello?
If this is Jews, what'd you call me? Did you call me a Jew?
Yes. You're a
Jew,
right?
Lady, I am as white.
You're a Jew. I can tell a Jew from 200 yards.
You are crazy. I was brought up north, never had a bit, never, I grew up around hardly any black people at all.
I can tell.
Moved down here, didn't have an ounce of hatred, of racism in my bones. But I can tell you right now, through living down south 10 years, You guys have instilled this in me.
Why don't you just say you hate niggers and quit?
You know what? I hate you.
You hate me?
I hate you, and I hate everything you're about.
You hate black people?
And I tell you,
you hate black people?
Yeah, I do. I do. That's the bottom line.
Let me ask you something. Are you a self-hating Jew?
Well, look here. How in the world can you say I'm a Jew?
You are a Jew. I can tell.
Because
I can hear the nasal sound.
I'm sick and tired of your mouth.
I can hear the nasal sound.
I'm sick and tired of your whining. And I'm so glad I'm able to tell you.
What time are services, okay? What time are your Jewish services on Saturday?
You look at here, lady.
You are so Jewish, I can't stand it.
I got two words for you.
Now, let me ask you something. Does the Klan let Jews in? When did the Klan start letting Jews in?
What's that?
When did the Klan start letting Jews in?
I'm not even going to waste my time.
When are the Klan?
I'm just going to tell you right now.
All right, okay. Anyway, thanks a lot. He's just a dumbass from the South. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
No, I wanted to know when the Klan started letting Jews in because...
All right, fine. I got it. 1-800-449-8686. God. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation is with us. And now you're talking about, we're talking about reparations for white families that got tricked into thinking they were buying a slave when in fact it was a con game being run by a white guy and a black guy. They had freed black slaves working with white guys in the South, going from town to town and plantation to plantation, pretending like they were a slave owner and slave and they were selling themselves. Is that it?
Yes, Phil, basically, you had that kind of con game being run on families that did not have this kind of money. Now, I had made the point on Sunday the 13th, we are calling on black churches across America to pass the hat to try to get some of the reparation money up for these white families. You have to understand something, for all the anger that might be created by this, these are not the brightest people in the world. These were some fairly dumb white people, and they were just as victimized, I think, as black people were, because they were dumb, stupid, thought they were buying a black slave, and the next thing you know, they go to the, like I said, they go to the barn or the slave quarters, and they're getting ready to pick some cotton or have a party, whether it was a house slave or a field slave, what have you, and maybe they had to set the table or something. They go out to get the house slave, and the house slave, you're not there any longer, so... That's $5,000 that you can wave goodbye to. And that bought a whole lot of hickory in those days, you know, and chicory and everything else. So that's what we're talking about. Equality, that's all.
Okay, and you, by the way, you're saying that sometimes there were lease arrangements?
They didn't call them lease arrangements. They were rentals. But, yeah, exactly. Sometimes it wasn't all the whole $5,000. Sometimes they put money down, but... There still was money lost.
They put money down. Okay. Here is Atlanta on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Atlanta, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Good. You know, her heart's in the right place, but her mind is out to space. And the reason is that, you know, if you want to fix a problem, you get to a root of it. If you cut the leaves, they grow back. The bottom line is you cannot compare someone losing money to losing their history. You can't compare money in the terms of someone that was killed. See, black people had no choice in this, okay? And the things that were done to them, I mean, you have to experience. A lot of people today cannot even begin to imagine what that was like, okay?
But the way you get them to understand this sort of thing is you try to tell them, well, there were wrongs done to you as well. We understand that.
Well, there's a different way of doing it.
Being having your money stolen from you.
You got messed up, you know, in a deal. The bottom line is what we need as a black people is the ability to educate ourselves to fit into society.
And what about the money these white families lost?
That's irrelevant to the fact.
No, it's not. That's the whole reason why I'm on this program tonight. It's not irrelevant. It's very relevant.
Sure it is, because they had an option. You're talking about, you call it a Holocaust on one hand, then you demean it by comparing
it to money. No, it's a total Holocaust, but I'm telling you, they lost a lot of money on a perfectly good slave they thought they had bought and fined.
Perfectly good slave? What was ever good about a slave?
What I'm saying, what they thought was.
See, I don't care what they thought at that point. What I care about is the fact of the stories that my grandfather told me.
You are asking
about
white people to care about you.
About not even knowing where you come from past the second generation.
You are
generation.
Asking them to care about you, but you have to care about them is all I'm saying.
I care about everybody.
And when
look,
they went out... And they have
injuries and aches today because of my caring of defending for my country.
Well, when
okay?
they rang a dinner bell and they thought their house slave was on his way up to the house,
you know,
only to find out
point so much, you know,
only
you
to find
that
out
plate,
that he's there.
Pass that plate to send somebody to school, okay? Pass
well,
the
I can
plate.
See that we are not going to get a donation from you.
I donate to a bunch of
all
things,
right.
But
okay,
I won't donate to that because it's ridiculous.
All right, sir, thanks for your call. Here is Tempe on the Phil Hendry Show. Tempe, hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I have a different take on this than everyone I've heard so far. I do not really trust this woman's intentions at all. I think it's just a ploy to set up for reparations later and to get the names of additional families, people researching and finding out if their families
is your family white?
My family goes back to the earliest 1600s, had no slaves and were white.
Well, you don't know whether they had slaves or not. See, that's
oh, yes,
one thing.
I
all
do,
white people, they all they don't they
them
think
all the way.
They think
I'm
they
sorry,
know,
but we have the genealogy and the households
it's
all the
possible.
Way back.
All I'm saying is it's possible that your people were dumb enough to have
no,
gotten
my
taken.
People were not. See what I mean?
No,
you're,
no, no.
You're
I'm saying
hate
darling,
for white
no,
people.
I'm trying to get something for
and
you. I'm trying to get something
is,
for you.
Okay, tell me where in Africa you would be happier today than you are in the United States.
All right,
where?
This is the second phone call that we've gotten with that kind of question. And every time you talk
it's
about
a valid question.
Every time we talk about race, it doesn't take long before the racism of the whites starts coming out, okay?
Yeah, well, it's a valid question.
I know, lady, and you're in Arizona,
and
you're in the home of racism. You're in the home of racism, the state of Arizona, the most disgusting, foul hole. I can't believe that a good man like John McCain came out of Arizona. I can't believe a good man like John McCain came out of Arizona, okay? Your question's valid.
I've only been here a month. I'm not.
All right, and you came up. What part of Africa are you from? I mean, these are the questions that we're getting here, okay?
Well,
Phil,
so
I can answer. She's Phil. Phil, she is a dumb old lady. I can answer. She's a stupid old woman. I can answer her question.
I'm not
all right.
Old.
But you're stupid, right?
No.
Okay.
Not like you at all.
Your relatives probably were some dumb white trash that bought a slave, thinking
I'm
they would
sorry.
Buy a slave.
The
and I'm just trying to get
Whitney's?
Them the money that they deserve, okay? I never heard of your family, the Whitneys.
All right, here is Doraville on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
You were pissed off there, weren't you, Phil?
I was a little bit angry, yeah.
Yeah, and I see this hopefully from a different perspective. I don't see this as being an issue of reparation. I see it as being an issue of right and wrong. And our basic system of justice is based on us inwardly, inherently knowing the difference between right and wrong.
Darling, get to the point. Get to the point, all right?
The point is that
let's
if slavery is wrong,
right, we got
then
that.
Why should anybody be paid for it anywhere?
They didn't get a slave. They got a fake slave.
Let me just ask you something.
That's why they're not getting paid for slavery.
Let me ask you a question.
They're getting paid for the slave they didn't get.
Okay,
see?
Fine. But
so they're not getting paid for slavery. That's why they should get the money.
Okay.
Now, if they had bought a perfectly good slave or whatever you want to call it, then they wouldn't be out the $5,000.
Okay.
But they didn't buy a slave, so they were not making money on slavery. Now, had they been making money on slavery, I would agree with what you're saying.
Okay, let me ask you.
But you see, I'm trying to talk as much as I can, so I don't have to listen to you talk.
Well, let me ask you a question.